Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of Global from Asia. We're at episode 11 here. I'm recording inside mainland China. And actually, I have 3 weeks to wait for my passport to get back. I filed another renewal of my work permit and residence permit, and December 6th was the day I issued it. And new policies are getting longer and more strict in mainland China, and I have to wait until December 27th, so it's 15 business days. Luckily, Christmas is a working day in China, so that counts as another day for me in the 15. Now I'll pick it up on the 27th and be able to go outside of mainland, such as to Hong Kong. But we have a few interviews here, and I've been doing getting better at phone interviews. So don't worry, we'll still keep on track with our regularly planned podcasts here. So today's episode is part two of a three-part series, the Start Me Up Hong Kong Venture Forum speakers that were here. And this is John Medved. He is a serial entrepreneur from Israel, came to Hong Kong for the Invest HK series there, and he is currently founder and CEO of Our Crowd, which is a crowdfunding platform for startups to help them get some funding and for equity. So without further ado, let's get John here on the interview. So thank you for joining us for Global from Asia, and we have Jonathan Medved here from Israel, visiting us in Hong Kong for the special series of the Start Me Up HK Venture Forum. He just finished at the meeting, and we're lucky enough to catch him on our show. So thank you for being here.
Delighted to be here.
So I think for our listeners, maybe quickly introduce yourself.
John Medved. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've built a whole bunch of startups, ranging from fiber optics to software. Venture capitalist, built my own fund in a garage, which grew to about $260 million. It's called Israel Seed Partners. It backed 60 companies that way. Prolific angel investor, mobile software startup guy, which I took my last company, Vringo, public on the New York Stock Exchange. And then about a year and a half ago, came up with this idea to do a equity crowdfunding platform called Our Crowd. And today I'm proud to say that Our Crowd is the single biggest equity crowdfunding platform in the world in terms of money raised.
So yeah, definitely. Thank you for being here. So our focus usually is around Asia, but this is a special series, and you're from Israel, which I was lucky enough to hear you yesterday speak about how it's the third largest
group of companies traded in New York on the stock exchanges, and probably the world's second most important source of innovation. A lot of things that, you know, we all take for granted in our day-to-day life, like instant messaging, started in Israel. Okay, voicemail started in Israel. The little jump drives or stick drives we use for, you know, flash memory start in Israel. Okay, the Microsoft Kinect kind of pattern recognition, you know, with your hands started in Israel. Okay, even products that you would not dream, like your computer. Think, well, wait, that's a Lenovo computer, or it's a, you know, Dell or a Mac. It's got a Intel chip. Intel chips today, by and large, are designed in Israel. There are 8,000 Intel employees there. They should be calling it Israel Inside, okay, at Intel. And Broadcom has bought 11 companies in Israel. They estimate that like 98% of the packets on the internet touch a Broadcom chip. Well, look at all these chips. They're all coming from Israel. They bought 11 companies. Cisco has bought 13 Israeli companies. You can't do Cisco anything without Israeli componentry there. Microsoft has bought 7 Israeli companies. Facebook just bought their third. Apple Computer just bought another new company called PrimeSense. Google spent $1.1 billion to buy Waze. Okay, so what's going on now is that Israel has basically become the world's other Silicon Valley. It's a little more dense. Okay, it's smaller. We're not a big country. But it's amazing when you think about it and say, okay, when you count the number of companies that are traded in New York, and the ranking is the United States, China, and then Israel, we're 8 million people. It makes no sense. But what's exciting about Israel and Asia is that we are really smack in the middle of the world. And while we've often had an orientation towards the West, going to Silicon Valley, going to the US, going into Europe, more and more Israeli entrepreneurs are getting out of Israel and making a right turn and heading into Asia. So there are more and more Israeli companies and entrepreneurs who are showing up here in Hong Kong, who are going to Shanghai, or going to Beijing, or in Singapore, who are all over this part of the world. not only because this is where the money is and where the customers are, but I think that we have a special affinity to the many of the cultural things going on here. Asia feels right for an Israeli, not just because there's a strong sense of tradition in the culture which resonates with our sense of tradition, but also because Israelis have been here before. All of our kids, after they finish the army, they go on tour. They go worldwide trekking. They put a backpack on their, you know, shoulder, and they go to Nepal, and they go to Thailand, and they go to Hong Kong, and they're surfing, you know, the waves in Java, and they're in Japan selling pictures on the streets, and they're doing something. So the Israeli kids that, who later on go to found these incredible startups, they've all been to Asia before. They know the culture, they know the food, they feel comfortable. And so there's a cultural click in a way that I think is very, very interesting and important.
One big thing is, how did this startup community maybe get started in Israel? I think Hong Kong, we have startup, you know, a lot of different startup groups kind of forming, and I think it's just a few years in now. Maybe what can some people here learn from Israel?
Most important is that word community. You've got to build a community, and the community to exist can't just be online. It has to be physical. And the fact that you're so small and concentrated, and I understand now there are 18 shared workspaces going, okay, and that's great, but the fact is that there shouldn't be just once a year, HK, start me up, okay? It should be happening every month. Every month there should be meetups with people bringing cool startup ideas and introducing them to investors. And to the extent that you guys discover each other, okay, as brothers in this struggle, then it's going to be a lot better for you. Because the reality is that to be an entrepreneur is to be delusional. And I got this from Professor Kahneman, who was the Nobel Prize winner in economics. Professor Kahneman says, look, you know that an entrepreneur, the odds are against you. The odds of a startup company succeeding are less than 50-50, right? If you're just making a simple calculation, you shouldn't do it. But of course you do it, because you believe that you are going to beat the odds, that you can make your own destiny, that you can make your own luck. And that's very much of an entrepreneurial attitude. It turns out that if people as a whole, according to Kahneman, share that delusional spirit, they actually impact the outcome of events. The more that you believe as a group, the more you influence each other and actually have greater degree of success. And that's the function of the startup community, where people are not just accessing capital or accessing services or finding the right lawyer who knows how to set up companies quickly or finding the right distributor, and all that's critical, or hiring that key programmer or that key business development executive. And that's what you do in a community setting. But it's much more important to actually celebrate the guys who win, to console the guys who lose and encourage them to get up and fight again, and just basically to be in this together. Because, you know, even though there might be a competitor, right, there we have in Israel, it's very tough competition between Israeli companies, but it's all about being on the same team. And I think that to the extent that you guys are doing that here in Hong Kong, it'll really work for you.
Definitely great advice. I think one thing I've noticed is everybody's doing their own startup and their own business. This is a little bit off topic, but I'm interested to know the answer. How does, like, maybe, is there like mergers in small businesses or in startups? Or
that happens, it's really hard. When you have two private, you know, same kind of early stage startups, everyone's ego's involved, and it's like, what, I'm going to give you 50% or I'm going to take 80%, and there's this very, very difficult psychology. I'll tell you that makes some of the best companies. I've had tremendous success in my background putting together private companies to create 1 + 1 = 11, because very often you don't have everything that you need, right? Whether it's either in the technical side or the marketing side, and you see somebody else who's got complementary skills, maybe he's got money and you've got the product and you can work together. I'm a real believer in growing big, not worrying about dilution. One of the big mistakes entrepreneurs make all the time is they're always saying, well, how much of the company do I own? Do I own 70%? Do I own 60%? You know, and they're focusing all the time on their percentage ownership rather than focusing on their total value, okay? Because I could own 5% of a company, but if it's a $1 billion company, I'm a happy camper, okay? Whereas I can own 90% of a $1 million company and I'm not so happy. So you've got to look at how you grow that value. And sometimes growing the value means taking dilution, bringing in partners, bringing in investment in order to grow a much bigger pie.
I definitely agree, but I think maybe that's where Hong Kong maybe needs to learn, just in my own personal opinion. I've heard, like, sometimes biggest companies start during economic downturn because nobody has a job, or and then everybody pools their resources together to help each other. So that's pretty great. And I really liked your talk about, you know, risk acceptance and the fiddler on the roof comment. That I would like you to maybe say that for our listeners.
So first of all, the most important thing you can get in order to really understand the entrepreneurial mindset is that you have to accept risk. Risk is part of life. If you're going to be afraid of failure, and the failure thing is like in your brain, that's all you can think of, and it's overwhelming, then you're not going to start up a company. Learn to accept risk. We're all here on this planet for a very short time. There's risk crossing the street. There's risk getting up in the morning. There's risk going into the shower, for crying out loud. Go build a company. But by the way, everyone doesn't have to be an entrepreneur, right? There are a lot of people who this is simply too much risk. This is not in their DNA. That's fine. But there are a lot of people who actually could make great entrepreneurs who just got to be pushed a little bit to take that risk. And that's really important. The second thing we talked about was, you know, everyone says, well, what should the government do? What should the government do? That's the wrong attitude. It's not about the government. It's about you. The government's got to do its job by making sure everyone's got a good education, and there's a good tax system, and there's a good legal system, and that the country is being promoted, and there's good trade agreements. That's government's job. But the government can't get you to go get up and start up a company, okay? And there's this movie based on a Broadway play called Fiddler on the Roof, where they come to a rabbi, a Jewish holy man, and they say, Rabbi, is there a prayer for the government? You know, and it's the middle of a wedding, and the rabbi sits there stroking his beard, and he says, yes, my son, there's a very famous prayer. May God bless and keep the government far away from us. Okay, in other words, the government has their job. They don't need to get involved in your day-to-day business. They don't need to pick winners. They don't need to give you a check to build a company. What you want them to do is make sure that when you make a bundle of money, they don't take it all away in taxes, okay? And that's a good thing, and I think you guys have got that really well done here in Hong Kong for sure.
Yeah, there's definitely great tax reasons to be in Hong Kong. I think for my last question to wrap up is, I like to always say, what's a tip that you would give to an entrepreneur? A lot of our entrepreneurs here, or listeners, are thinking about coming to Asia or to Hong Kong or already here. You know, should they come to Asia? Or where, you know, like, a lot of times they're considering location a lot. And you're in Israel, I mean, should an entrepreneur go there? Or I guess it depends.
Look, there are many wonderful places to build companies. And Silicon Valley is a great place. Israel's a great place. Hong Kong's a great place. London. Incredible centers. But you have to find a place that you feel at home. Because if you're sitting there lonely and you don't have connections and you're not part of a community, then that's a bad place for you. Then that's not going to work. So find a place where you're connected. But most importantly, when you get started, build your team. Okay, it's all about the team. Before you start worrying about where you're getting your money, or where you're going to get your first customer, or how are you going to, you know, brand yourself, or, you know, do your advertising, first work on your team. Make sure that you can convince a couple of people to become your partner who have complementary skills, who can bring the right kind of, you know, human resources to bear on this critical task of building a company. And that's the first thing that your potential investor is going to look at. If it's just yourself, it's going to be a lot harder about getting money than if you've built a good team around you.
I definitely agree, but it's a little bit, everybody's always looking for a technical co-founder. You know, usually it's the business-sided founder that maybe has the idea and tries to convince a technical co-founder. That's a whole episode in itself, but
we'll be happy to talk about that next time.
Maybe next time. So yeah, thanks for being here.
Pleasure.
Okay, that's a wrap. Thanks so much.
Okay.
So thank you, John, for that interview. Hope everyone enjoyed his insights on the Israeli startup community and some real on-the-ground tips for entrepreneurs. One funny thing about John was I was in a press conference for the Venture Forum, and he noticed my laptop. I have all these stickers of different startups and investment kind of businesses, and he really saw me sticking out there in the panel of different PR media people. So yeah, I definitely appreciate the recognition. I try to keep it real. I also want to thank Eva Chan. She's the manager of PR at the Invest HK, and she's helped me a lot with these arranging these interviews. And also, since in the episode 5 with Charles Ng, she also was really instrumental in helping me coordinate that. So thank you, Eva, for listening. And I know she's always really concerned with these sound quality. We're trying to get quiet spaces during the different PR sessions. So thanks again. Okay, and now some words from our listeners. This is always my favorite part. I'm trying to figure out how to better centralize all these different reviews on different markets of iTunes, but One here is in Hong Kong. It's from George. He's a Dutch entrepreneur in Hong Kong, and I've known him for many years. He's coming through Hong Kong often. He goes, does business all over the world, and he's definitely enjoyed listening. He caught up on all my podcasts a week or so ago while he was hiking in new territories, and he was nice enough to give me a 5-star review, and let me just read it for everybody. So it's great insight from people on the ground. And the details he writes are, Michael could probably fill a podcast with just his own experience, and the guests he brings in just multiply that. My to-do list of things to look into and books to read is growing with almost every episode, so this is indeed actionable advice. So thank you, George. I really appreciate it. You've been really supportive. I know you're also a tech guy yourself, and maybe you should help me with some analytics or ways to better centralize other podcasters. I've searched online, and I can't really find a way to put all this data together and feedback. That might be a pretty cool idea. So thanks, everybody, and next time will be our third of three series of these speakers. So stay tuned, and any feedback, I, of course, appreciate it.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.